Walking this talk together.
Every hour.
Every day. This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
So we mentioned the discussions and they're ongoing regarding the sabotage of the nation and Eskom, and the blame largely being laid upon those who went on the unprotected strike. We've got Riona Kaloa on the line. She's a director at Labor and Employment Law at PASWA Incorporated. Riona, it's quite a difficult situation. And I think the various stakeholders, the citizens, Eskom, the state, private companies, small businesses, and I think even the labor organizations have been part of this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good. So with all these stakeholders involved, can you just give us a balance of what the conversation is at the moment and where it is?
Okay. So look, you know, it's right that in terms of our constitution, the employees have a right to strike. However, this right to strike is not an unfettered right, and it must be balanced with and against other fundamental rights, such as those relating to healthcare, food, work, and social security. And the Labor Relations Act has recognized this and has placed certain limitations on the right to strike. And one such example is that people engaged in essential services may not take part in a strike. This means that employees in the essential services don't enjoy the protection of the Labor Relations Act, because strikes at essential services like ESCOM are unprotected. And so any conduct in contemplation of furtherance of such a strike doesn't comply with the requirements of the Labor Relations Act, and also doesn't afford protection to these employees. So what can ESCOM do in this situation? Because it impacts not only ESCOM's business, but the country as a large. Now, whilst ESCOM is a state-owned entity and government is one of the stakeholders, government has got the duty to let the board focus on its fiduciary duties, on its operational requirements. But because a strike affects the country as a whole, government can't intervene insofar as it attempts to negotiate with the employees and try to resolve the strike. Government is not a party to this dispute, because it's, you know, as in any dispute, it's between an employer and an employee. But that's not to say that ESCOM, as the employer, doesn't have any rights to resolve this dispute or to take action against these workers. Because this is an unprotected strike, ESCOM has the duty to issue ultimatums to the employees requiring them to return to work. If employees fail to heed these ultimatums, then ESCOM can take disciplinary action against these employees for misconduct, for failing to adhere to these various ultimatums that have been issued. And ESCOM can argue that the action of these employees have displayed a complete disregard to the consequences of the business or the employment relationship. And in such situations, there must be a balancing act to see whether dismissal is appropriate. Another remedy that ESCOM has on hand is is approaching the labor court on an urgent basis to interdict the unprotected strike. Where ESCOM has been granted an interdict and the striking workers continue to disobey or disregard the court order, then ESCOM can go back to the labor court on an urgent basis for contempt proceedings to be brought against these employees. And in such a situation, ESCOM could hold employees in contempt of court and use the penalty of incarceration as a threat. And this is really to coerce compliance with the labor court order. ESCOM can also make use of replacement labor where appropriate. So those are some of the remedies that are available to ESCOM at the moment.
Thank you so much. That was quite a broad spectrum. I threw all of them at you and you answered quite incredibly well.
And thank you for that.
Just in terms of the essential services, so one of the arguments is that ESCOM hasn't identified who is a part of essential services. And do you think that would ameliorate the current issue if the essential services could be identified? And how would we protect them or insulate them from any issues that are unresolved?
Okay, so in order to determine whether a service falls within the category of essential services, there has to be a referral to the Essential Services Committee. And the Essential Services Committee then makes a determination, which it has done in the case of ESCOM. What needs to be done after that is the employers and the employer and the unions need to come to an agreement on the minimum services agreement, which means that not all employees are deemed or are identified as being essential services. So those that have been deemed as not being essential within the within the service itself can go on strike, but those are not the majority of employees. So I know previously in ESCOM there was a strike with I think it was the HR sector of ESCOM, and in that case 70% of ESCOM HR were not deemed essential, so they could go on strike. So that's what needs to happen. There needs to be a referral and there needs to be a minimum services agreement in order for the workers to go on strike if they're not falling within the category of essential services within ESCOM. But even those that are deemed as essential do have a right. Whilst they might not be able to strike, they do have a right to refer their disputes to mutual interest arbitration. So they are not without rights in terms of the Labour Relations Act.
There's so much I want to ask you, because this has been probably the clearest conversation from a legal aspect we've had in a while relating to this issue. Just to further extrapolate, I'm worried about the security of the individuals who've chosen not to strike. What sort of mitigation matters? We've heard of petrol bombings, we've heard of houses being and even assets being vandalized. What sort of communication, and does the trade union play any part in ameliorating the situation? Because I'm not sure if our labor unions have the capacity to negotiate the best situation for our working class.
Yes, thank you. That's very important. Unfortunately, in recent years, strike action has been coupled with very violent action. And that is mainly due to the frustration of workers in wanting to resolve their disputes, in wanting to coerce the employer to come to the negotiating table. I know that the NUM has said that the workers on strike are not their workers. But the trade unions have a duty to call them, their members, to meetings to try to resolve the issues where there's unprotected and the so-called wildcat strikes. The unions need to intervene to ensure that workers comply with ultimatums and that workers don't face disciplinary action for their participation in such strikes.
Your Honor, do you feel that they have the capacity to negotiate the best situation? I'm not sure, because they are there, but are they effective?
Well, they can only be effective if they are talking to the members on a regular basis, if they have the members' interests at heart, and if they negotiate in good faith with the employers. Now, in order to do that, in order for unions to be effective, they need to come to the party as well. They can't just say, well, we want, I'm going to give you an example, a 15% raise in a climate of current economic instability.
Yes.
So unions also need to be alive to the issue, that they need to convey this to the members. And where the membership doesn't agree, then the union needs to then put it to a strike ballot or then to take it to interest arbitration and not let the situation play out. Because in the current situation, the unions are actually losing sympathy. And remember, strike action is also based on how much of sympathy you can gain from the public. I can tell you, I'm waiting for load shedding at 6 o'clock here in Johannesburg. So I have lost sympathy as well, because where you have little kids and you know, you're subject to load shedding 3 times a day, it's difficult. So the unions need to see that the pendulum has shifted, and they need to now come to that party, and they need to resolve the issues.
Rihanna,
and this means they need to sit around the table. Sorry about that.
No, my apologies. I just want to get quickly to a question regarding South Africans. What can we do? I want a legal perspective. There's a listener, Kusta, said to me that we'd rather leave than fight. So it's a fight or flight situation. There's been a blockade. There's consistent marches. There's a lot of control related to how we move. Our security, our military sector has shown violence against citizens. What more can we sacrifice? Just from a legal perspective, what is it we can do to change things?
Well, we need to start putting more pressure on government, on our elected officials. And also, we need to put pressure on ESCOM. ESCOM needs to get itself together. It needs to get its business together. It needs to put the priorities of its citizens and its customers first. Remember, ESCOM is an essential service, and it was deemed as an essential service. And now they are subjecting us to load shedding. And, you know, an essential service is one that is critical to the health, safety, and social security of a part of the whole of the population.
Thank you.
Now they're subjecting us to load shedding. We need to look at that as well.
Thank you so much. That's Riona Kalua, Director, Labor and of Labor and Employment Law at POSWA Incorporated. I really, really enjoyed that discussion. If you share the same sentiments, I'd really love to engage with you. I hope to engage with her in future as well. It was quite a well-weighted and sober-minded argument. But one thing that I really want to ask, and maybe some of our listeners can join in on this one, what kind of pressure can we put on ESCOM as South Africans? There was the march to ESCOM led by Unhlanhla Lux. What more can we do?